You're with SBS Radio.
We are here today with two very special guests, Marcel Letteri, who is a jiu-jitsu champion in Australia and around the world. In his third year in Australia, Marcel won the international, national and state titles in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and recently won the Pan Pacific Jiu-Jitsu Championship. We also have in our studios today Matthew Karakoulakis, a lawyer in Melbourne with Indigenous and Greek background. Matthew started jiu-jitsu more than 10 years ago and has taken part in overseas competitions and training. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is becoming popular in Australia. Public schools in Sydney are adopting the martial art. High-profile Aboriginal people are taking up the sport. We have names such as Chantel Thompson, Robbie Wiramanda are at the forefront of this, let's call, wave. They are high-profile Australian Indigenous people taking the jiu-jitsu to new heights. So we will talk about that. Marcel, welcome back.
It's a great pleasure to be back here. Thanks so much, Luciana.
Matthew, thanks for joining us today and talking about one of your passions, jiu-jitsu.
Obrigado, Luciana. Prazer.
Marcel, just quickly, before we go into our topic today, as I mentioned before, you collect titles and you recently won in August 2019 the Australian national title.
And now in October, I won the Pan Pacific competition. Championship is the biggest competition we have in Australia and Oceania.
Those competitions were both here in
Australia? Yes, we are very lucky here in Melbourne because we have all that big competitions in Melbourne. I think for the competition scene in Australia, Melbourne is the capital of jiu-jitsu.
Do you agree with that, Matthew? Are there lots of competitions here?
I definitely agree that Melbourne is the home of jiu-jitsu in the Oceania region, and I wouldn't disagree with Marcelo since he's, you know, just won the Pan Pacific Championships at black belt level. Whatever he says goes, I think. But it's definitely a massive competition. It runs over 4 days.
Yes, it was like 3 days. And I was working as a referee as well. I have on my track record 24 hours working as a referee. We start on Friday morning and we finish Sunday afternoon. Yeah, 3 days of competition, having kids, adults, masters.
Yes. And on top of that was the you were competing.
Yeah, so I took like 5 hours of break, 2 hours each day to compete as well. And sometimes during my breaks, I was coaching my wife as well. She was competing and working as part of the staff. So we are really part of the BJJ scene here in Melbourne, yeah.
And what is your secret for winning all these titles? What's this mindset that you put in? Because it's really hard to keep winning and keeping at the top of the ladder.
It's really hard. And the biggest challenge is have a good preparation. Because actually I'm more a coach than a fighter. I mean, I don't have time to train for my competitions. So while I'm teaching my students, I try to keep my skills sharp. And maybe the mindset that helps me a lot is like I'm able to train with my students. Doesn't matter the level, even if they're beginners. I will find a way that I will put myself in some situations that will challenge me anyway. And that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. Like you can have a beginner that has a special skill in some of the areas, like let's say people play in general on bottom or top, and some beginners they are natural on bottom. So against that student I will try to train on the top just to put myself outside of my comfort zone.
That's so true. I think that there's many ways to train jiu-jitsu, and you can put as much pressure as you like on yourself in many ways. So, for example, if you're having a day where you might not be feeling very good, or you've got a training partner who you just want to play your best game on, in that situation, you can start on the top position if that's your strength, or the bottom position. Or I'm going through an experience right now where I have a bit of a rib injury and I hurt my rib last week. Luckily it's recovered way quicker than I thought, and I've prayed a couple of times. Maybe that's the reason why, I don't know. But when I first hurt my rib, I thought, should I take some time off? Because rib injuries can be one of the most difficult injuries in jiu-jitsu. And I thought, no, I'm going to keep training, but I'll train in a particular way. So now, in the past week that I've been training, if I am in certain positions, I've been trying things that are against the rules, because what is the normal rules of jiu-jitsu, I actually can't do. So trying those new things, being put in situations where you have limitations, but looking outside the box for the answers, is something I think that's part of the jiu-jitsu experience.
And it's interesting, and also picking up that you said that you train as you can, because you work so hard, you're so absorbed by your coaching work. You can learn from anyone, from a beginner.
Yes. Like,
does
sometimes
jiu-jitsu give you that, as Matthew?
Yes, we had situations of like beginners creating a new technique, like for example, a new choke. Like, you can use the uniform to try to apply a choke in jiu-jitsu. And we had cases of beginners creating a different situation that no one thought about that before. So you for sure can learn from anyone. For example, right now, my wife, Laura, is my, let's say, my best sparring partner. And she's a lady. She's around between 53 and 50 kilos, super light. And some people think, I cannot train with a lady. Like, I'm wasting my time. Are you not prepared to a competition training with someone light? But actually, ladies in general, when they train a lot, they have a really good skills, because they cannot rely on strength. That's one of the beauty of BJJ. You can learn from anyone. You need to be always open to learn. If you're not open mind, you're not learning from people like lower ranking than you. But if you have a good mindset, for sure.
Anyone can learn jiu-jitsu, Matthew. You are a lawyer, a successful lawyer here in Melbourne. Why did you start learning jiu-jitsu? You wrote a piece about how jiu-jitsu made you a better person, made you a better lawyer.
I was playing football when I was, you know, sort of in my early 20s, and then I was
Australian football.
I had an injury and couldn't play anymore, and thought, gee, I want to get into some sort of sport, but I don't want to do the normal punching and kicking type style. And then one day my best friend had a flyer on his car. I was living in Adelaide at the time, and the flyer said something along the lines of, learn some martial arts, how to defeat your opponent without a single punch, or something like that, right? And I thought, gee, that looks interesting. I went to my first class and I thought, really? This is like, what are these guys doing? You know, I was just thinking, it just looked ridiculous. But the teacher at the time was a blue belt. His name was Sean Black. He was the sort of most experienced jiu-jitsu guy in Adelaide at the time. And at the end of the class, he asked me, what do you think? I said, you know, I didn't want to be rude. I said, yeah, it looks okay. And he said, how about if I lend you some videos, then what would you think? And if anyone's a jiu-jitsu enthusiast, they'd know the video Gracie in Action. And I watched that one, and it's got the Gracie family beating a lot of these sort of punching and kicking type people, and images of like lions grabbing onto animals and things. And I thought, gee, that's amazing. And it gave me the appreciation of jiu-jitsu that I needed. And through the time, I've really learned a lot from jiu-jitsu that definitely does apply in all areas of life, and definitely has helped to make me a better lawyer. One thing that comes to my mind is the ability of persistence. So to be a excellent lawyer takes a lot of persistence. You have to go to university, you have to read and understand cases that may be difficult to understand. You have to persist through thousands of documents in litigation matters. There's a lot of persistence that's required. The exact same principle comes from jiu-jitsu. Your teacher might show you a technique, you don't understand the technique properly, but you need to persist with that technique to be able to understand all the little details and to make that technique your own. And that's only just one example.
Yeah, you can apply this for all the professions. Yeah, jiu-jitsu can improve you in everything that you decide to do.
For sure, for sure. When I was back in Brazil, I used to work in IT. And I remember that situation that I found myself in front of 50 people talking about softwares. So, like, at the beginning, I was like, how you do that? I would talk to 50 people about something. And I was feeling a bit uncomfortable with the situation. But then I started to think about, man, when it's time to compete, I compete in front of 1,000 people. And it's not a trouble. And why? And then I started to understand, like, jiu-jitsu is almost like make you feel powerful, because like you can go against someone stronger than you, against someone bigger than you. You can anyway handle the situation. At least if you are not able to win someone stronger and bigger than you, you can at least protect yourself and survive. So give you that thing that you manage to feel all right in situations that you are really uncomfortable. So think about that. I am like 64 kilos. Sometimes I need to fight against someone 100 kilos, and that person will be over me, trying to control me, trying to keep me in a position that is really uncomfortable. You need to learn, keep yourself calm and wait for the right opportunity to escape from there. So in life, you understand that, okay, the situation is uncomfortable. I'm under pressure. I'm scared. But I need to keep myself calm, and sooner or later you see an opportunity to improve my situation. And yeah, you can apply that on school scenarios, like professional scenarios, like in life. When you have a struggle in general, you can just think about, I can do it.
How to tackle that struggle, or how to go around it, or how to defend yourself.
Go around. Sometimes you cannot go through. You need to go around. Exactly like that.
And jiu-jitsu, it brings amazing benefits beyond just the individual level as well. So I think jiu-jitsu creates amazing community. So even today, when Marcelo walked in for our interview together, and Marcelo and we say, oh yeah, I know you, you know, we have a conversation. So we don't train at the same school or anything like that, but we know each other and we're friends through the art of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you're brothers.
Exactly, yeah. We have something in common. And when Marcelo's explained to you here the comfortable position, I can see that position. I know exactly the position and the experience that he's speaking about. We've had the same experiences. And I think the relationship and camaraderie that's developed through jiu-jitsu is really amazing.
And another thing I love about jiu-jitsu, if you have the right environment, a good coach, does not really matter if you're rich, if you're poor, your background. When you're on the mats, we are bare feet, we have just the gi, and the gear pretty much the same. So you don't think about which car this guy have, how much money he's making per month. You have that feeling that everyone are equal, and I love that. I really love that.
And on that equilibrium point, which I think is a really good one, one of the places I train on Sundays is with Gustavo Falsarelli. He's got a gym called Lab 33.
I interviewed Gustavo ages ago, years ago, yes.
He has the problem on the train because someone tried to bully him, and he did not fight back.
Yes.
And he was an MMA fighter, active MMA fighter.
He'd be one of the best MMA fighters in Australia.
Yeah, one of the best MMA fighters in Australia, and he did not fight back. Yeah. And yeah, it was so nice.
But and that's another example of the lessons and what you learn through jiu-jitsu, because you learn that level of self-control, which he was able to use to not hurt somebody. So a big part of jiu-jitsu is actually not fighting, you know. And the point I was going to say, though, about Lab 33 is we train without any belt color. So we all train with a white belt, which I think is a beautiful way of demonstrating that we're all on the journey together.
You're all equal again. Going towards the end of our interview, our time is up. Matthew, you seem to be a fascinating person. You are an Australian with Greek and Aboriginal background and passionate about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Your wife is Brazilian. How do you identify with Jiu-Jitsu? How Jiu-Jitsu fit in your life in all this cultures. Do you practice jiu-jitsu because of your multicultural background, because you are Aboriginal, because you are Greek, because you love Brazil?
That's an amazing question, and it's something that I'll probably ask myself throughout the day on. I think that through my background, so there's been definitely been struggles and challenges in my family. You know, my mother is Aboriginal, and there's been a lot of, you know, difficulties through the generations that definitely affects our upbringing. My father came here as an immigrant after a very long boat ride, as they would do in those days, and he had a challenging upbringing as well. So I think that I was brought into the world in a way of appreciating challenge, but also understanding how to overcome challenge. And I think there's a similar journey in jiu-jitsu where you start off as a beginner and it's like you're getting beaten up by your friends every day. So, you know, there's people trying to maybe attack your arm or your neck or doing jiu-jitsu technique, and you might be surrendering every training session, but then you can overcome that struggle and become a champion like Marcelo. So I think that you get empowered through that, and I think jiu-jitsu is definitely very helpful in that way.
Do you agree with that, Marcel?
Yeah, it's
part
agree.
Of the struggle, so it's it reflects life.
In the hardest time in my life, jiu-jitsu gave me that moment during the day that I was just thinking about solving the problem on the mat. So someone is trying to fight you. You got to think about that fight. You got to think about that present moment. You cannot think about what happened before. You cannot think about your future. You think just about the present, right now. This guy is trying to win the fight, and I want to win the fight. So it was really like a therapy, like during the hardest moment, like you just think about the present. So it was like, it's like a therapy. It's like
It clears your mind. You wouldn't think about your problems and your struggles.
And I think it's amazing for Brazilian people, because we're on your Brazilian program, and I think it's amazing the number of Brazilian people that have been able to move, say, you know, to the United States. It began with there'd be a lot of people moving from Brazil to the United States, and now there's a lot more people that are Brazilian living in Australia. I think one of the amazing parts that jiu-jitsu can bring for those people coming into Australia who have got a good jiu-jitsu record is they can go have a good job in a jiu-jitsu school, automatically have the friends that Marcelo was speaking about, and also have respect and opportunity that's brought through the art, which I think is incredible.
That's great, and it's great that also you both are helping in bringing this sport and making it more popular. You know, more people are getting to know it. You have we recently did a story on public schools in Sydney, so the children in Australia are also getting to know the sport. So it's it looks the future looks bright, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's the next step: bring it to more schools. Is one day I would like to do the same, and I would like to do a kind of charity program as well, giving opportunity to kids that don't have the opportunity to pay a good gym, because nowadays it's not really cheap to train in a gym with a high level coach. So once I have settled down with my old school, I would like to offer like kind of charity program to kids that cannot afford a good gym, so they
even refugees or
exactly Laura and I we have a lot of ideas. For sure the future of BJJ in Australia is really bright, and we have kids starting with 4 years old and they have so much fun, they love it. You just need to make them play more games, but it's always games associated to the martial arts, to the fight situation. So I think the future is really bright, and bringing it to the schools is the future, is the next step.
Yeah,
I think definitely getting the children involved is great. One of the things that I've spoken about is perhaps doing some work at the Fitzroy Stars with their children pre-season football club program. And so it's sort of similar in the thinking that Marcelo's saying, but I think if we can get more children involved in jiu-jitsu from a young age, I think that would help. That would definitely help with bullying in schools and some of those types of social issues. And I think a lot of the benefits that we've discussed in our talk together today can be delivered for children and really make their lives better from the very beginning of what they're doing. So
people from all backgrounds, like you, Aboriginal, Australian, Greeks, attracted to this kind of martial arts. So yeah, other people too, they just need to know that it exists. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you, Marcel Letari, and thank you, Matthew Karakoulakis.
Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado, dia. Luciana.
E até a próxima, né?
Até a próxima. It was a huge honor.
Boa sorte, hein?
Thank
Boa
you.
Sorte.
Obrigado.
Go.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.